Can't be done. It is impossible. You can try. You can't do it. It is impossible to overhype the basketball game that'll be played in Tuscaloosa tomorrow. Tomorrow, we're one day away from Auburn, Alabama, and it won't be matched again until it'll be exceeded in 3 weeks when they play at Neville Arena. This is the final Village Vice before Auburn, Alabama basketball round one. He's Zach Blackerby. I'm Brad Law, and I'm a little fired up about the basketball game.
You should be. This is a big deal. It's a big deal. Number one versus number two for the first time in SEC history. Somehow it's the first time.
Not Tennessee, not Florida, not Arkansas.
It's Auburn and Alabama. It's Auburn and Alabama. What a great thing for SEC basketball as the conference continues to make these statements and other coaches continuing and national analysts pointing out that the SEC is just 500 in SEC play, which is just ridiculous.
It's so funny.
Yeah, it is funny.
Now it's run its course. We don't need to keep making jokes about it. It was funny for 24 to 48 hours. Now that joke has run its course. But yes, it's so good.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. Yeah. But it's great for the state. It's great for both the Auburn and Alabama programs. Like there's nothing but excitement going into this one. So,
and I build it up, keep building. I mean, not only have we never seen one versus two in SEC basketball, I like this angle on it too. We've never seen one versus two in Auburn versus Alabama in anything, not in football, not in gymnastics, not in baseball or softball. Never seen one versus two. So enjoy.
What's the closest? What were we ranked in the kick six? Were we four?
Yeah, we were four. They were one.
That's probably the closest then, right?
I would think so. I mean, there may have been some years that softball was like 8-9 years ago.
Yeah.
Up there close to the top, and they were
in the Myers era. Yeah.
Yeah.
Sure. Gymnastics probably has a chance to be close, but I mean, it wouldn't be one versus two.
I think some 90s baseball seasons, like the mid to late 90s, both teams went to the World Series, I think, in 95, 97.
But wouldn't have been ranked one and two, though.
Nope, not one and two.
Yeah.
This is, you talk about, you know how hard it is to truly make history in sports now? Almost everything has been done at some point.
Yeah, there's been a lot of it.
Yeah.
There's been a lot of it. And when it's two rivals, and I said this somewhere else this week. I've talked about this game a million different places, but the aspect of like the pride that's on the line with the Iron Bowl as a rivalry, Auburn versus Alabama versus Duke and North Carolina. They've done the one versus two thing in basketball, but they don't have anything on the football side. Nobody cares about the football side of that.
No.
Or, you know, Michigan, Ohio State, obviously the game is an electric rivalry on the football field. It definitely has been over the last 5 years or so.
Yeah.
But nobody's watching that in other sports.
Right.
And I think Auburn and Alabama now have this really unique and cool opportunity to say, hey, we don't like each other in anything. Yeah. We don't like each other in anything. And we're good at multiple things.
Like you said, Michigan State, when they play in basketball, that can be pretty heated, but it's not this.
Yeah.
Like whatever you would consider to be the secondary sport in the rivalry. And I don't know that you'd consider basketball the secondary sport in the rivalry right now. Maybe you would, maybe you wouldn't, but I don't know. I think Auburn, Alabama basketball is more contentious. I think there's a lot more, you know, blood boiling over basketball than there is football in this rivalry right now, because it's more even over the last 5 years.
Yeah. And I mean, Kyle earlier this week, I don't know if you saw the clip that I put on socials, but he was like, you know, I hate Auburn basketball or Alabama basketball more than I hate Alabama football. And I'm like, that's a take, but some people agreed with him. So, I mean, it's super contentious. And I think a lot of it has to do with the emotions of the players. I mean, both players have emotional squads. I think Aiden Holloway certainly has a factor in this rivalry. And both coaches have led Final Four runs recently.
Yeah.
So there's a lot at stake here. But also on the other side of the coin, whoever wins this game is not a national champion or an SEC champion.
No.
Whoever loses this game, their season isn't really impacted.
Right.
So like it's this mega game, but like it really doesn't mean that much. It'll mean a lot Saturday night, and it'll be a blast. But in the grand scheme of things, it's like it'll be cool for bragging rights, but that's literally it.
Yeah, the actual ramifications of the game are the winner gets a leg up in the regular season race in the SEC. Both teams have very hard last 4 weeks of the schedule lined up. It's very tough for both down the stretch. So the winner gets a game advantage. The loser gets a chance to even it up when they come to Neville Arena in 3 weeks. But, you know, you get a momentary advantage at a league where you can't slip at any point. So,
right.
Yeah, aside from that, both teams are going to be projected one seeds after this game, win or lose. You're not, which I think makes it more enjoyable. There's not that fear of, you're not losing a playoff spot if you lose this game. You're not losing a spot in an SEC championship game if you lose this. It's perfect. It's the perfect storm for just being hyped up and enjoying the whole day, the whole lead up to the game, the whole day, every bit of it. Just soak it up. I love it. I love it like Valentine's.
So the rumor is you're the greatest Valentine of all time. Is that true?
It's got to be. Yeah, it's
what I've heard.
Mm-hmm.
No, what I've heard. Can you be America's Valentine today?
America's Valentine. I don't know that I have the budget to get candy and flowers for everybody.
Dude, I get so stressed out on Valentine's Day because there's like societal pressure already, right?
Sure.
But then also, like, it is my wife's birthday. And so, like, I don't know, we've been together almost 10 years, and, like, I still am not super great at, like, navigating all that, so.
Do you double up? Do you go Valentine's gifts and birthday celebration?
So, early on, I would just ignore Valentine's Day, because it's weird of her giving me something on her birthday.
Yeah.
However, what she gave me this year was incredible. I sent you a picture, t-shirt of Seth freaking Rollins on it. Let's go. I meant to wear it today. I totally forgot.
She was so excited about it. She's like, I'm gonna give you your Valentine's Day present early.
Yeah. But also, like, she's like, we're having a baby in like 3 weeks, and so it's like we can't even like really do anything, you know, like we can't do anything fun. So it's not like we can go grab drinks or anything, you know. So it's just kind of like, all right.
Yeah.
Happy birthday, honey, you know?
Sure.
That's where we're at.
Okay. Well, I hope you figure something out. I hope you're able to figure it out.
After this recording, we're going to pick out a cake. So that'll be fun.
Oh, that will be fun. That'll be good.
Sure.
Yeah. You like cake? Who doesn't like cake?
Favorite type of cake?
Chocolate cake. I mean, I'll go standard.
Yeah, can't beat it.
Chocolate cake.
For sure.
What's yours?
Chocolate. Okay. I just agreed with you.
Okay. Well, I just agreed with you. No, I didn't know if that was the agreement or just a validation.
What's your favorite food? Spaghetti. Oh, me too. What's your favorite food?
I didn't hear you say me too.
I just agreed with you.
All right. Fine.
What's your favorite thing to wear?
Roback.
Roback.com. Roback.com. I'm wearing the quarter zip today. Very sporty. Very fashionable. First thing Brad Law said to me when we hopped on the call to record, it wasn't Happy Valentine's Day. It wasn't good to see you. It was, dang, I think that's my favorite of their quarter zips. I don't mean to misquote you. You said that, right?
That is what I said, yeah.
Right?
That's 100% true.
You can get one of these over at roback.com, and we don't want you to pay full price for it. Use promo code VICE20 for 20% off your order. Hey, Valentine's Day can be tough for some folks.
Yeah.
Go to Roback. Go to Roback and treat yourself. Treat yourself to something nice.
If you're alone on this Valentine's Day, don't just sit there.
Why did you emphasize alone like that?
If you are just alone with no hope, alone with no hope of ever finding that special someone in your life, take care of yourself. Go to Roback.com.
That's right.
Get something nice for yourself.
Who wins between Auburn and Alabama tomorrow? Or should we save that for the six-pack? Is that a six-pack thing?
Let's save that for the six-pack, but let's do a little bit of analysis here, okay? Some of these stats, the key stats in this game, and our friends at the Next Round put this up on social, three-point percentage. Like, if I just say who's got a better three-point percentage, who would you take, and would you take them by a little or a lot?
Take who by a little or a lot?
If I said who's got a better three-point shooting percentage,
I'm sorry,
would you take? And would you take them by a little or a lot?
Auburn has a better three-point percentage, correct?
No, Alabama has a better three-point percentage, but it's by 1%. They're 38%. Auburn's 37%.
Okay. I saw a stat somewhere where Auburn's was higher, and I didn't believe it. So that's why. Okay. Interesting. Well, maybe that was an SEC play or something. Maybe there's a caveat to it. I don't know.
I mean, you know, the next round, they're going to find every way to make Alabama have a better looking stat.
We work for them. Are we allowed to say that? I don't know.
I don't know. I know that that's the narrative. So I'm having fun with the narrative. It's Valentine's Day. Relax. I know Auburn's guards are like above 40% from three, but anytime you take big man 3-point shooting numbers into account, they're going to lower your percentages a little bit. 3-point percentage
and Jani Broome, like, gosh, I love him. He's my favorite Auburn basketball player ever. But like, he's gonna take three threes a game, it feels like. And it's like, why? Yeah. Why are you doing that? Why? Yeah. Why? Why?
And even if he only makes one, it's gonna bring the percentages down. But their big guy, their 6'11 guys are gonna shoot threes too. Like, this is they're shooting threes all over the place. Auburn's got a better 3-point percentage defense by like 1%. It's 29% and 29.5%.
Okay. So you're saying this is all close. Yeah.
I'm saying it's all close. Now, the biggest, there are a couple of big differences in the game, and it comes down to extra possessions. Extra possessions. Each team has a way of getting extra possessions. Alabama's rebounding is better. It's objectively better. They're a better offensive rebounding team. They're a better defensive rebounding
team. Especially right now. I mean, Auburn's rebounding over the last week has just been atrocious.
Giving up way too many offensive rebounds to Florida. And you go, well, okay, that's Alex Condon and Hogue. And okay, Vandy shouldn't have had as many offensive rebounds. You gave up
They played small. They went small a good bit of the game too. Yeah.
Yeah. So Chaney, Jani, guards, they're going to take a lot of threes. Guards have to rebound. Long shots lead to long rebounds. So Miles Kelly, this could be a humongous game for Miles Kelly.
Okay.
Not just because he scores well in road games. I think he scores better on the road than he does at home, but also rebounding. You know, he's got the 110 rebound game this year. Miles rebounding could be absolutely huge in this game. So Alabama's got an edge on the boards. They rebound about 7 better than Auburn. Where Auburn can get some possessions is turnovers. Auburn's got a plus 3.25 turnover margin per game. Alabama's got a negative 4+ turnover margin per game. So that's about a 7 turnover difference, 7 extra possessions on average for Auburn. Alabama tries to make up for that because of how fast they play. They're going to put up a shot in the first 10 seconds of the shot clock. So they balance that. They give away possessions, but they get extra ones. So the question is, again, it comes down to the rebounding. If all that washes out, you can't give them even more possessions. You have to value the possessions. And I think Auburn's got to slow the game down a little bit. Zach, I don't think you want to play a 90-point. Even though Auburn can, you can win 90-point games. I think it's a better strategy to slow it down.
Well, that's where Alabama wants it to be. They want it to hit the 90s. And I think if it gets to that point, I agree with you. Auburn can do it, but I do think it decreases Auburn's chances of winning, if that's the case. I mean, I think Auburn needs to slow it down a hair, which is crazy that we're saying that, because Auburn's such a team that benefits with such pace, but Alabama's just, I mean, they just have so many possessions a game. And so, I think you do need to slow it down a little bit. And if you make this somewhat defensive, like, I like Auburn's chances.
Yeah. Oh, I completely agree. Everybody tries to point to, what did Ole Miss do? Ole Miss was able to go into Tuscaloosa. Right. They're the only ones that have done that. The other two losses they have are at Purdue. At Purdue. Purdue's a very good team. And then against Oregon on a neutral floor. And Oregon's a good team, too. Like, they're quad one losses. All 5 combined losses for these teams are high level quad one losses.
Sure.
So,
hey, you're a quad one.
Thanks.
You're welcome.
Roses are red, violets are blue. I'm a quad one, and you are too.
Wow. Happy Valentine's Day, everyone.
Who needs heart shaped boxes of chocolate when you have Village Vice? So, Auburn's offense running through the post. Jani Broom, Chaney Johnson, to a degree Dylan Cardwell, but he's not like the he's not the playmaker offensively.
Sure.
Running the offense through those, they need to get a touch every offensive possession because that slows the game down. And your best shoot, like your best percentage shooters are touching the ball every time. I know Jani's missed some shots lately. That's like the we're dying to knock him somehow. He's still the best player in college basketball, and the offense needs to run through him because when he can't score, he can pass it. He can distribute.
Can we still say that? Can we still say he's the best player in college basketball?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
So
I found this week very disappointing.
Yeah, he turned it on late against Vandy. It wasn't the first 35 minutes.
Well, it was the same against Florida too, though. Yeah. But like, I mean, eye test of like when the game was in contention.
Yeah,
he wasn't there. Yeah. He wasn't there, or at least to the level that he has been to like where the best player in college basketball should be.
Bruce pointed this out on Tiger Talk last night. Jani has had some really good games in Tuscaloosa of late. Hopefully, yeah, the last 2 years, he's gone and played very well over there. And both the games over there the last 2 years have come down to, like, the last minute. They've been nailed.
Yeah, for sure. Even when Alabama's teams have been way better, Auburn puts up a fight in Tuscaloosa. So, yeah.
And a lot of that is, and, you know, when your best player has a good game, you're right there in it. So,
do the lights work tomorrow?
Lord, I hope so. Hopefully they tested all that.
That was crazy. That was more, absolutely crazy.
I'm more interested in the college game day group. So like we, you know, the team will go shoot around today, Friday. Mm-hmm. And then I don't know if we're going to do this or not. I don't know if I should say it or not, but typically we go set up a radio equipment at shoot around. Well, we're not just going to leave it in front of everybody. If they're going to let students and other hooligans, you know, and I use hooligan affectionately, like,
okay,
I would say that about our people at college game day.
Sure,
they're not the same, not the same kind of hooligans, but anyway, you know, right there up at the table where all the stuff is set up. So I don't know. That's where my mind is, you know, until they get past that.
What's that equipment go in the secondary market, you think?
I don't know, but you know what? Probably only $50 or $75. It's really not all that.
Not worth it.
Nah.
After you got to pay for shipping or anything like that, it's just totally not worth it.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I wouldn't even worry about it.
All right.
Yeah.
You want to diss any other students or anything like that? We good? We ready to jump into the six pack?
We're good. I think we're ready.
Okay. Sweet.
All right. The game before Auburn and Alabama. And I'm
glad that you brought this up because I want to talk about this.
Yeah. I love that ESPN put Houston at Arizona at 1 o'clock.
Yep.
And put Auburn and Alabama at 3 o'clock.
So what does that mean, Brad? What does
it
that
mean? It means if you want to watch the beginning of Auburn, Alabama, you better be prepared to go to ESPN News the app. Now, what they have already done, because some people have already called them out week long on social
ESPN
media.
ESPN, when it comes to programming basketball, is awful.
It's terrible.
It's like they don't even care. And it's been the same issue for a long time.
You nailed it. They don't care.
They don't care about college basketball.
You're right. They don't care about college basketball. They will tell you, it's available on ESPN News. Don't you love it when people put you in an adverse situation, but they explain it to you in a way that like you ought to thank them for it? Isn't that fun? So, yeah, ESPN says, what? It's available on Southern Station. Is that inconvenient? We don't care.
And like years ago when we used to do like, especially for like midweeks, where it's 6 p.m. and 8 p.m., like clockwork, right?
Yeah.
Games used to be like 2 hours and 5 to 10 minutes. Yeah. Like that, they used to be close.
Yeah.
Now it's not with like officiating and commercials and timeouts and all of that. Now it's like 2.5, like clockwork.
Here's an idea. Schedule games 2.5 hours apart. And if your game ends in 2 hours and 4 minutes, go to the studio, show some, you know, arena shots, build the environment, build anticipation for the next game. What they're doing is their attitude is the first half doesn't matter anyway. So if the first half doesn't matter, then schedule them at 1 o'clock and 2 o'clock and 3 o'clock and 4 o'clock. Do it like the old March Madness days, like CBS used to do the NCAA tournament. Stagger them 45 to 55 minutes apart and then just go live for the end, if that's all we care about. Tell you what, it'll help our stuff. It'll help our product a lot to do it that way. Figure that crap out.
Yeah, so fully expect to not be able to watch the entirety of this game. The game of the year!
Game of the year! We're not going to... Yeah, so they've already pushed it back to a 3:10 start.
That's closer.
It's
closer.
So, like, they at least acknowledge and get out. There is no... Normally, for folks who don't know, they do what's called a slide. It's a 7-minute slide or a 5-minute slide, or they do it for football, too, where they build in some space where an hour before the game, some TV person says, you know what, the game before isn't going to end on time. We're going to push the start back 5 minutes. So the game started at 3:05 with a 5-minute slide. And I love that on Wednesday, they were like, yeah, it's just, let's go ahead and this make it 3:10. Let's go ahead and factor in the slide.
Well, so if they could slide it again, 3:15, it's like, okay, we're probably going to see it. Like, well, it'll be close.
Yeah.
It'll be close.
Although Houston, Arizona, that's a defensive, like, you don't think there'll be 40 fouls in that game?
It depends how it's called, man. It just depends how it's called. But yeah, for sure.
Hey, get the ESPN people to get in the officials' ears at that game in Tucson and be like, hey, we got Auburn and Alabama coming up. Y'all let them play. Just let them roll through. Let some contact go in the second half, please. Who wins, Houston at Arizona?
Houston.
Okay. I'm going to take Arizona. I like the home team there.
Yeah,
Arizona's only 11-2. I mean, they've only lost twice in the Big 12. Nobody cares. Moving on. Wisconsin at Purdue.
What are these games?
They're the SEC doesn't have like the best slate of games. Okay.
Okay.
You'll see. It's Auburn, Alabama, and
Auburn and Holy Cross. We picking that one?
Do you want to pick Auburn and Holy Cross?
I think we should absolutely incorporate the Auburn baseball series into the six-pack each week. Yes.
All right. It is opening day, and it's going to be the largest crowd to ever watch an Auburn baseball game. So let's do that now. Auburn and Holy Cross.
I think series. Auburn sweeps. Okay. I think Auburn sweeps the series. They should. You've been over there a bunch doing setup and all that. But the rest of the local media got a tour of the new facilities yesterday, and mm-hmm. the ballpark looks great. I mean, it's exactly what I think an SEC baseball park should look like. And I love Plainsman Park before, but I can't wait to take my family. We're going to try to go Sunday, weather permitting.
Yeah.
I can't wait, but yeah, they did a great job with it. The ballpark looks great.
The ballpark looks great. I think you're going to be able to Sunday. I think we're going to catch a break on the weather. It's coming in late Saturday night and, early Sunday. So that War Eagle wall, if on this same YouTube channel, we have a show and it launched earlier today, as a matter of fact, the Barn Baseball Show. The latest episode was released earlier today, and it's Lindsay and me interviewing Butch Thompson at the top of the War Eagle wall. That's going to become a really cool hangout for fans throughout the season. So when you're at the ballpark this weekend, check that out. And a sweep against this Holy Cross team would be very impressive. They returned three of their top four hitters from a year ago. I think the reigning conference champion, they had the reigning coach of the year in their conference. So this is not like an easy opener. Three sure. against this team would signal, I think, a lot of things to be happy about. So
yeah. I mean, I would imagine pitching depth should be a matchup here that Auburn should benefit from over the course of the weekend. And I think obviously what happens to tonight and then in tomorrow's game, if they can kind of get to the bullpen early, that should certainly be Auburn's goal every series. Yeah. But I think that'll be key this weekend. So
I agree.
I think Auburn sweeps.
All right. Can Texas beat Kentucky back to basketball? Texas beat Kentucky in Austin.
No.
Okay.
No. Man, that Texas team just keeps getting worse every time I watch them. Like when I watch them against Auburn, I'm like, this team could beat some folks. And then every time I watch them since then, I'm like, what happened to this team? Like, did Auburn break Texas? People are asking.
Or is Rodney Terry just on his way out and they're going to have somebody else next year? Texas is not going to really, they're not going to respond well to a 6-12 SEC season.
They shouldn't respond well to it.
I agree. Yep. Mississippi State at Ole Miss. Mississippi State's kind of fallen off too.
Yeah, I think Mississippi State is like, it seems like they're losing to like better teams though. But also, I think Ole Miss is trending in the right direction. They survived South Carolina, but that seems to be what happens when you play at South Carolina. I think Ole Miss is legit. I think they're a legit team. Yeah. So yeah, give me the Rebels.
Yeah. All right. Nobody cared about most of that. They cared about Auburn baseball. They didn't care that much about it because they're watching one game Saturday. The eyes of the country are on one game Saturday. What happens
after the 3-minute mark? Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. After the under 8 timeout, they'll all be tuned in.
That's right. It's going to be electric. No, I'm picking Alabama in this one. I think it's close and I think it's a battle. But just based on the last few trips to Tuscaloosa, what have we seen? Auburn has them and then they can't close it out. And Alabama pulls through in the final few minutes. If I had to pick what the pattern is, that's what I'm predicting just because that's what it's been. Yeah. The last few years when Auburn goes to Tuscaloosa.
It has been. You're right. But Auburn hasn't won there.
This team can be different. This team can be different for sure.
I think Bruce said it right. Alabama's better than they've been the last couple of years.
Sure.
But so is Auburn. I think Auburn's better. So give me Janai and Chaney down low. Give me Miles Kelly on the perimeter. I think Miles is the biggest X factor in this game. And we know how Tahad does in games like this, where the spotlight is the brightest. So Miles Kelly and Tahad Pettiford, I think, are the guys that are going to make a huge difference. So give me Auburn. Give me Auburn on the road. Give me Auburn going in. Give me Auburn all the way. Give me the Tigers. Give me the orange and blue. Tell you what we're not going to do. Tell you what we're not going to do. And this is a reversal for me.
Okay.
We're not going to complain about the officials. We're not going to pay attention to the officials. We're going to finish through contact, whether it's whistled or not.
Yeah.
You can't, like, that's nothing else is a factor.
Okay.
But the five guys on the floor for them.
Sure.
Five guys on the floor for us.
Okay.
That's it.
All right.
And Auburn gets the job done.
Let's go, Brad Law. America's Valentine, Brad Law.
In the biggest game, biggest regular season game in the history of the Southeastern Conference.
Yes.
It's here. I love it.
Yes.
Go to thebarnauburn.com and join the conversation. Tell us what you think is going to happen in the game in the comments below. I will read all of them in between innings. And hey, check out the Auburn baseball broadcast. I've got John Cohen in the booth with me tonight for the call, the whole game.
Wow. And
he's not the athletic director when he sits in on these games.
He does a great job with you.
He's baseball guy, John Cohen. He's championship level coach and baseball guru, John Cohen, on these games.
So there was a game last year where I was driving home and I was listening to you and I'm like, who's doing color? And then I waited for you to go to commercial or whatever. Then you said, I'm like, oh my goodness. Like, you would have never thought that this was the AD.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's truly good stuff. So I can't wait to tune in.
Yep. So that's tonight. And such a fun time. Enjoy it. Enjoy this like era that we're in. And we'll be back on Monday to break everything down. It'll be great.
All right. That does it for today's show, Brad.
It does. Yep. Thanks for watching.
Thanks
for subscribing to the channel. We love you. Happy Valentine's Day. Remember, until next time, everyone has vices. Make sure Village Vice is one of yours.